serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are glad that you have joined us here for the next half hour to invest in your study of the Word of God. We hope that this program will be a blessing to you, and that you and I will become more intentional about our praising God. Merritt Assembly God, tonight is our midweek service. We'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. The adult Bible study, we're studying the book of Revelation at this point in time. And, you know, we don't study it to try and scare people into a relationship with God. That doesn't work. The reason to go to heaven is not because of the adverse things. The reason to go to heaven is because you want to be with Jesus. You want to be as much like him here on earth. A lot of times we have made the goal of our Christian experience to simply go to heaven, and really the goal is to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can. So that's what's going on. We do have a children's class that meets tonight, and we've got a lot of other exciting things that are going on. And so we hope that you will avail yourself of that. If you do not have a church home, we are more of a church family than we are a mega church. We're a lot more like a church family than we are a mega church. Not very many of us are related to one another, but we love one another, and we want to see the best for one another. And we have always got room for more. We are never looking to exclude anybody. We want Merritt Assembly of God to look like heaven, where people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So hopefully we'll see you tonight at 7 p.m. If not, maybe in the near future, you know, whenever the Lord opens that door for you. Today we're going to Psalm 106, verse number 24. Says, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word and complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness for all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. We're going to stop the reading right there. So on yesterday's program, we were looking at activities that, or habits that we can develop in our life that will be detrimental to our desire to praise God from whom all blessings flow. So yesterday we ended in verse number 24, then they despised the pleasant land, meaning they rejected what God had provided for them. And I want to share a verse. It's out of the book of Jude, verse number 6. And it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. What that verse means is that God had provided a domain, a position, a divine placement, a place where they were supposed to thrive. And it said that instead of that, that they rejected that responsibility to keep that domain. The result of that was darkness and bondage. Darkness and bondage. So God wants us to praise him, and he sets us up to succeed. That's one of my favorite expressions. God sets us up to succeed. The devil sets us up to fail. And there are a lot of challenges that come in life. Life is hard. Life without Jesus is even harder. And so the best place that I could possibly be is right in the center of God's will. Doesn't mean it's going to be an easy place. But a lot of the people that we read about in the Bible as heroes of the faith, it's not because they were set up in an easy place, but they were set up in a difficult place, but they made the most of the opportunity that God had provided for them, even in adverse conditions. So we find that there are a lot of temptations that come when challenging seasons arise. I'm not excluding myself here. Okay? So I've known people that at the first unpleasant moment in a situation, they just packed up their bags and they left. And they ended up doing financial harm, relational harm. They did all sorts of trauma because an uncomfortable moment hit and they said, I don't have to put up with this. And they packed their bags and they left. I have this mindset, and it's just that. Okay, so this is just to help me explain to you that not every transition a person makes is a transition that God wants them to make. And so my mindset is, God says, where'd that person go? I put them right there. Why aren't they there? And, so just because people make decisions doesn't mean that it was necessarily the decision that God wanted to make. So in Jude, verse number 6, there's only one chapter, we see that it's not only humanity that can make bad decisions, but it was part of the fallen angels, where God had given them a domain, given them an assignment, given them a place, and they were going to thrive in that place, only they wanted something better in their minds. They wanted something different. So they rejected that, and instead of being able to find a better place, it led them to a place of darkness, and it led them to a place of bondage. So I'm just going to state this. I'm not stating this with any particular person in mind. I'm just stating it out there as possibilities. There are people that God provided a job for that when a difficult moment, they quit their job, and then they found themselves in a difficult spot because they rejected the pleasant land that God had provided for them. There are people who have abandoned their families. in difficult moments thinking that they were going to be able to provide something better than what God has provided. I will tell you, that's a very difficult path to choose. There are people who've abandoned, you know, the word of God. They've abandoned their promises, the things that God had for them. And here, this is talking about the children of Israel. It can be a place where people break relationships of all different sorts and nature. And I at one point in time, I had a conversation with a person, and I made this statement. I said, God hates divorce. And I don't believe that that's just talking about marriages that fall apart. I believe that that is covenant relationships in the body of Christ that end acrimoniously rather than being able to be released into a pursuit of God's blessings in their life. And fortunately for the situation that we were having that discussion, we were able to work those situations out. It ended up being a healthy relationship. And 6 months later, another door was opened for them by God. And it was a door that was a door of blessing. And so instead of darkness and bondage, it ended up being a place of advancement. So I can tell you that when God provides himself for you, when God provides covenant relationship for you, when God provides a house of worship for you, when God provides that assignment for you, don't reject it. Don't despise it. Don't think that you can do a better job of providing for yourself than God can. Instead, say, God, I want to thank you. You know what's best for me. And I can tell you there was a revival going on in the book of Acts. Philip was being used, and one day God picks him up from this thriving revival in this city, and he positions him out in the wilderness. And you say, what in the world is he doing out there? Well, he was there because there was a government official that was on his way back home. He was reading the book of Isaiah, and he needed explanation to what was going on there. That man ended up giving his heart to Jesus. He ended up getting baptized, and he ended up going back and starting Christianity in his home country. When God positions us, we need to say, God, thank you for what you have provided for me. And I promise you this, God's ability to provide himself and the things of your life is better than what you can provide for yourself. Don't end up in darkness. Don't end up in bondage. Instead, embrace what God has provided for you and enjoy the revelation and the freedom that comes from obedience. It goes on and it says in the latter part of verse number 24 that they did not believe his word. Now, in verse number 12, it says, then they believed his words and they sang his praise. So whenever we don't embrace God's word as wisdom and we don't believe God's word, then, you know, it's easy to say, well, there's not going to be any consequence to my actions. History is filled with the reality that there are consequences to negative actions, and there are benefits for positive actions. And God's word promises that there is blessings for obedience, and there are curses for disobedience. There are wonderful benefits, but there are also things that are lamentable. If you don't believe me, just do a word study on the word woe, W-O-E, and you will see that the Bible talks many times about things that are woefully, I shouldn't have added there are woeful for people instead of enjoyable or desirable. They did not believe his word. So because they did not believe his word, they didn't praise him, and instead they became people who did nothing but complained. It says they complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. So I've made this statement before. It is impossible to praise God and complain at the same time. It's something that can't hardly be done. And so I don't want to be a person who is constantly complaining. I don't want to be a person who always sees the bad and never sees the good. But what happens is while we are complaining, we do not activate the beneficial receiver, if you will. We don't heed or listen to the voice of the Lord. I will say this. Anybody can complain. It doesn't take a specialized skill set. In fact, our world is so filled with complainers that, you know, they've developed their own language. There are some people who use words that I do not use. They can use it as a noun, a verb, and an adjective all in one sentence and think that they are showing themselves to be mature when actually what they are showing is that they have a very limited vocabulary. Now, here's what I will tell you. It has become so innate in them that they don't even realize it. I had a person that told me one time that before they came to Christ, a person challenged them on their language and how much they were complaining, how much complaining they were doing. And they said, do you know how many times you just used this word in the last whatever period of time it was? And the person said, no, I had no idea. And the person told them, and it was revelation to them. It led to transformation. And so I think that if we ever analyzed how much complaining we were doing, that we might have a better explanation as to why we don't do a better job listening to God. Whenever we're praising God, we're going to hear a response. If you look in Revelation chapter 4, if you look in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12, 11 or 12, you're going to see that when one group in heaven praises God, there's a reaction. There's a response of additional praise to God. And so there's a wonderful, wonderful ability to hear God. In fact, it says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. When we come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, then we are ready to listen to the voice of God, not just hear, but to listen. And if you and I want to undermine our ability to praise God, all we've got to do is become people who complain. People who complain will tell others something like three times more than what people who have a complimentary experience. I think we need to offset that. I think we ought to commend people a lot more than we correct people. I think we ought to celebrate more instead of complain more. There's an expression that I got from a book by Mike Murdoch years ago, and that is, that which you disrespect moves away from you. And so if we are complaining about God, it's going to put distance between us and God that God doesn't want to be there. if you want your if you want less intimate fellowship between you and your spouse, just complain about them more. If you want generational issues, complain about your parents, complain about your kids. It's something that doesn't endear people to you. It repels people from you. So we don't want complaining to be a part of our life. This is something I'm going to pick up at verse number 28. We've already read that. It says, they joined themselves also to the Baal of Peor, and they ate sacrifices made to the dead. Now, what happened there was they embraced an immoral lifestyle. They rejected their body as instruments of righteousness, and they used their body as instruments of wickedness, and they did so with the mindset of worship instead of worshiping God in holiness. The Baal of Peor was an intentional trap of the enemy to come against the children of Israel. Balaam was the one who came up with this strategy. And they said, look, you can worship our God and be immoral at the same time. And that's very appealing to people who are not listening to God and who've rejected God's provision for them in their life. It is very easy to embrace sexual immorality when we reject the pursuit of spirituality. When we reject holiness, it is not hard to comprehend what the other alternative is. And that is, there are going to be people who are going to start chasing the works of the flesh. And where it gets extremely dangerous is when it becomes a deception that says, oh, you can be immoral and you can still be worshiping God at the same time. So when they worshiped the Baals, there were actually provisions in the Old Testament. This was not God's provision. This was demonic provision. And that was, hey, you can come to the house of God and there's going to be temple, you know, prostitutes and things like that. That God doesn't want that. I believe it is time to once again call the church into a life of relational holiness. That might not be something a lot of people want to hear, but I believe that God is looking for us to conduct ourselves in a way that says, I have been redeemed by the blood. I have been set free by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and my flesh no longer controls me. Instead, it's the Spirit of God living inside of me, and my body will be an instrument of righteousness instead of an instrument of wickedness. Okay? And so reject an immoral lifestyle. Now, if you want to, you know, quit praising God, you know, a threat to that is immorality. And I believe that there should be a mark of distinction between the people of God and the activities of the people of God and the activities of the world. Sadly, there is a statistic that I heard, I believe it was in 2024. I heard it from two different sources, and it said that immorality inside the church was just as prevalent. It was more than half of the church was not Merit Assembly of God. Half of the church at large, that they were actively engaged in practicing immorality. That is one of the reasons why people are not praising God. And I believe we need to reverse that trend, and we need to do so as quickly as possible, because what it does is it leads them to rebel against the Holy Spirit. Okay, you read verses 29, you're going to find that immorality is something that is displeasing to God, that it's finally when people take a stand and they say, no, I am not going to do this. I'm not going to endorse this. I am going to stand for righteousness. I'm going to stand for the principles of God's word and what he has set out for us. That's what Phinehas did, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and it reversed the trend of anger that God had against the sinful behavior of people. Verse number 33, they rebelled against his Holy Spirit. Now, I make no bones about it. I am Pentecostal. I am Pentecostal, not just theologically. I am Pentecostal practically as well, experientially. I don't believe that God the Holy Spirit is to be avoided. I believe that God the Holy Spirit was expedient for the church, is expedient for us in our life, and that's why Jesus ascended to the Father, was so that the ministry of God the Holy Spirit could come and be a blessing to the church, and that he guides us into truth. He opens our eyes. He gives us the words that we are to say. And so we embrace the Spirit of God. And whenever that happens, you say, thank God. You begin to praise him because God, the Holy Spirit, is actively involved in your day. But in verse number 33, it said that the people rebelled against God, rebelled against the Spirit of God, and it even caused secondary ungodly behavior in Moses, and he paid the price for it. I want to call the men in Brevard County to have a vibrant, healthy relationship with God the Holy Spirit, because it will benefit you. It will benefit your family. It will benefit your ministry. It will benefit you. We'll make a lot fewer mistakes because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's not rebel against him and say, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to do what I want. I'm the king of my own castle. And that's just not what God wants. He wants to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our life. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.